Hey, it's time for your Katie and Kay local newscast for this Tuesday morning, December 20th. I'm Stacey Stein, live from the heart of Carbondale's Creative District. Carbondale Town Trustee Ben Baumfock joined Katie and Kay's Bob Schultz and Jeff Dickinson last Wednesday for an update on last week's meeting. Here, Baumfock explains how new trustee positions will be filled this time.
So yeah, we decided to fill the vacancy on our current Board of Trustees by appointment instead of election. Kathy Derby, our town clerk, will put a notice out about that probably next week that people can pick up an application. They'll need to get some signatures just to show that they have some support for their candidacy. 25, yep. Which was a slight change. Typically, you have to get signatures for a election petition to run, but not for an appointment. Katrina Byers had a good point about, you know, the value when you're stepping up to public office of really reaching out maybe beyond your normal circle and knocking on a few doors and really talking to some people. So at the very least, we'll have people get 25 signatures just to show support for their application.
What a good idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea. And then we will interview people and make an appointment, and we'll take input from the public on that process as well.
And was there any discussion as to what you're looking for in a new trustee?
No.
Alrighty. So people will be able to get that information in the next week or two. And when do they have to apply by?
The 13th of January. So we thought we'd give it about a month from now with the holidays in there and stuff.
Trustees also talked about affordable housing.
We approved a fairly significant change to our affordable housing guidelines, which now give an option for a developer to include some rentals in the mix for meeting our affordable housing guidelines. So in the past, if a developer came in with a big project where they were going to have 20 rental units, like an apartment building, technically they would have had to split off 4 of those units and make them for sale.
Sell them.
Yeah, sell them, which would kind of disrupt.
Created all kinds of problems.
Yeah, disrupt the whole nature of that project.
Subdivision, financing, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly. So we just put some language in the guidelines to say, if you don't want to split them off and sell them, we will accept rentals instead of for sale units on rental-oriented projects. And then we put guidelines in for what the rent should be, and it's all based on Garfield County Affordable Housing Guidelines.
And the guidelines were a little vague. It kind of mentioned rentals before, but this helps to really clarify the issue. So
exactly.
I was a little bit involved in some of that, and I know it was something that was looked at in Basalt and throughout Garfield County and Carbondale, and so it's a little bit of a change. And rental's a big need here, so that's something that'll be, I think, beneficial to the community.
Yep.
All right, Benny B., Town Trustee, checking in with that Town Trustee Report.
That was Town Trustee Ben Baumfock giving an update from last week's meeting to KDNK's Bob Schultz and Jeff Dickinson on Wednesday. The Lower Valley Trails Group is working on a non-motorized trail system along the Colorado River from Glenwood Springs to the Garfield County line near Debeque, eventually connecting with the trail system in Mesa County. But the biggest obstacle has been how to get through South Canyon just west of Glenwood Springs. Now, the group has $75,000 from Get Outdoors Colorado. Katie and Kay's Amy Haddon Marsh spoke with Jeannie Golay, director of LAVA, to find out how the money will help move the trail along.
This grant is part of the GOCO planning initiative. So it is strictly for planning and design. None of that money would go towards construction. We're still trying to get lines on the map and plans and design for this part of the trail. This is kind of a new segment of trail. A couple of years ago, the city of Glenwood decided they wanted to divert the trail from the north side of the river, cross the river over to some city property known as the Chatfield property. And it's a beautiful stretch of open space between the river and the railroad tracks. It is a nice section of property there, so they thought it would be nice to divert the trail over there. So that's mostly what this planning grant will go towards, is looking at planning to get the trail across the river through the Chatfield property and then back over to the river further west.
I interviewed Larry Dragon in 2012, and he said that phase 3 of the trail would cost $3 million. Describe phase 3 and why it would cost $3 million to build.
Phase 3 is a little bit of a misnomer. It's not the final phase. We still have quite a lot to build in South Canyon. We've broke it up into small phases based on grants that we had that, you know, were doable chunks of the trail. But the reality is there's still quite a lot of trail to be built. And unfortunately, it's very expensive, largely due to the acceleration of construction and material costs in the last 15 to 20 years. And we are building in very difficult terrain. The geology, the topography is very challenging through South Canyon. It's a very narrow canyon hemmed in by, you know, steep cliffs. The interstate highway has a large right-of-way, a steep bank down to the river, the Colorado River Gorge, steep bank up to the railroad tracks, and then the DNRGW has a large right-of-way corridor on the south side. To put in a safe, you know, bike path, even, you know, 10 foot wide, we've tried to make it as narrow and inexpensive as possible, but we still will be faced with very steep retaining walls.
The rest of it through South Canyon is a whole different phase, it sounds like.
It is. We haven't actually named it yet. We kind of react to the grant cycles as they come up. And so if GOCO announces another planning grant or construction grant, you know, we would try to tailor the parameters of that phase or that section to match up.
LUBBA itself is 17 years old. What's given you momentum to stick with this huge project for so long?
That's a good question. It's an amazing project. Imagine a 47-mile path along the Colorado River Corridor from West Glenwood Springs all the way to Debeck Canyon. That's the LUBBA Trail Master Plan. This section through South Canyon has made the shortlist of Governor Hickenlooper's 16 in 2016 planning initiative. They identified 16 projects throughout the state that are very crucial, critical links. And the South Canyon Trail made that shortlist. And it's really energized us because it's on the map, literally, you know, and figuratively. It's in people's minds. We will be getting, hopefully, extra, you know, support from the state level on down with planning and granting opportunities. And everybody recognizes it's a really needed trail. You can ride your bike or walk or, you know, be on a non-motorized, safe corridor all the way through the state until you get to South Canyon, basically, if you're going from east to west.
What is the next step, Jeannie Golay, with this $75,000 GOCO grant?
The goal is to get as much of the corridor shovel-ready is what we're looking for. With, you know, construction grants and planning grants, you kind of try to get all your ducks in a row, get your planning done, have your cost estimates as, you know, fine-tuned as you can get them, and then you go after construction money. So shovel-ready is the key here, and that's what the City of Glenwood is going to be working on with this grant.
Well, congratulations on getting the grant and on your new job. Thanks very much, Jeannie Golay, for talking with me today.
Thank you, Amy.
During the holidays, it pays to be cautious to avoid scams that can put a damper on your celebration and a hole in your wallet. The Colorado Secretary of State's office found 2,000 registered charities that have been suspended or prohibited from asking for donations. Eric Galatis has more.
The season of giving is in full swing, and it's also the time when many Coloradans make end-of-year tax-deductible donations to their favorite nonprofits. Out of 13,000 registered charities in Colorado, 2,000 have been prohibited from soliciting contributions. Colorado Attorney General Cynthia Kaufman says scam artists sometimes create fake charities to steal from unsuspecting donors.
It's great to be generous and to donate to a cause that is near and dear to your heart. Just make sure you know where your money is going. Take time to do a little bit of research and be certain that the charity you're giving to is registered with the state.
Nearly 80% of Colorado adults made a charitable donation in the last year, according to a recent AARP Foundation survey, and most respondents did not know how to tell if a group was legitimate or not. Kaufman encourages people to visit checkthecharity.com, which outlines each organization's mission, leadership, and tax-exempt status. Charities and nonprofits do work that fills critical gaps left by the marketplace and government, and they depend on individual contributions to keep their doors open. The Colorado Nonprofit Association found the sector contributes more than $2 billion to the state's economy and is its third largest employer. Kaufman encourages people to make educated contributions.
Coloradans are incredibly generous. We give a lot to charity each year. This is a way that we take care of our community. If folks can't necessarily go out and volunteer their time, they can give dollars to support those who can.
The Attorney General's office has launched a consumer holiday guide at stopfraudcolorado.gov, and the Secretary of State also publishes an annual report showing how much of a group's overall spending is devoted to services compared with fundraising and overhead. This is Eric Galatis reporting for KDNK.
And gasoline prices are on the rise. KDNK's Amy Haddon Marsh has more.
Average retail gasoline prices in Colorado rose almost 5 cents per gallon last week, averaging $2.07 a gallon on Sunday, according to Gas Buddy. The national average increased 3 cents per gallon to $2.24, but Pitkin County is just about a dollar over both the state and national averages at $3.16 a gallon. Colorado prices are almost 20 cents higher than a year ago, when the national average fell to under $2 a gallon. Prices are close to 3 cents higher than last month. Since November's crude oil production cuts from OPEC and non-OPEC countries, which translates to more expensive oil, the price of gas could go up more than it has since 2010. But the experts at Gas Buddy say there may be a silver lining. Prices could fall a bit in mid-January as refiners begin discounting excess inventories of winter-grade fuel. For KDNK, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.